mostly based on this article, with some overlap with this article as well. Okay. The major motivation of this lecture was to investigate the relationship between, on the one side, 5d n equal to 1 gauge theories, and on the other side, 6d1 0 CFTs. Now, the particular relation we will be interested in exploring will be that in some cases, a 5d gauge theory actually has a 6d CFT as its UV completion. Now, given such 5d gauge theory, we would like to determine its 6d CFT UV completion. Now, this is in general a very interesting relation, and beside that, it may have also several applications. For example, one application, the 5d gauge theory, then provides a Lagrangian description, and we can then do various calculations in the 5d gauge theory, which may also learn us something about the 6d CFT. Yet another application is to study the compactification of 6d CFTs on the torus to 4 dimensions. Now, it has been known that compactification of 2-0 theories on various Riemann surfaces has been very helpful in understanding the dynamics of 4D supersymmetric gauge theories. And so recently, it has also been begun to study compactification of 0-1 CFTs on various Riemann surfaces, the simplest one being the torus. So in that case, understanding this sort of relationship may help us understand the compactification of 6D CFTs on the torus by first compacting them to 4 dimensions and then proceeding from there to 4 dimensions. Okay. Now, the outline of this lecture is going to be as follows. I will first start with the introduction. This will cover the generalities of 5D gauge theory and the construction used in brain systems. I will then go on to move about 6D10 CFTs, again, discuss basic properties of them and their construction used in brain configurations. I will then go on to present an example of high-dimensional gauge theories with a 6D CFT UV completion. After that, I'll move on to the main part of the lecture. That will be to describe how, given some 5D gauge theory, one can determine 6D CFT UV completion if that 5D gauge theory is a brain web representation. And we then move on to discuss the implication of this to study the compactification of 6D CFTs on the torus to 4 dimensions. I will finally end with some conclusions. Okay. So a 5-dimensional gauge theory is an unrenormalizable. The inverse gauge can be square every dimension of mass. And so naively they are not thought to exist as microscopic theories. Nevertheless, it is known that in the minimal supersymmetric case, a 5D fixed point may exist. Now, the structure that the emerging structure is then as follows. And the underlying level is a 5D CFT. We can perturb this 5D CFT by a mass deformation. This will initiate an RG flow to lead us in the low energy to a 5D gauge theory, with the coupling constant of the gauge theory then identified with the mass deformation. Particularly, we can then consider taking back the infinite coupling limit, which one basically begins to approach the 5-dimensional CFT. Now, this structure results in some very interesting and perturbative behaviors of the gauge theory, notably enhancement of symmetry. The phenomenon of enhancement of symmetry is where the 5-dimensional fixed point has a larger global symmetry than is visible in the gauge theory. A very important ingredient in 5D, every simple non-abelian gauge group has a topologically conserved U1 current given by this sort of, by this is just the instanton number in 4D lifted to 5 dimensions. Now, the particle charge under it are instantonic particles. Now, in some cases, this particle may lead to additional conserved current into enhancement to a larger global symmetry. And a very known example is an SU2 gauge theory with n flavors in the doublet representation of SU2. Now, if the number of flavors is smaller than 8, then this theory goes to a 5D fixed point. But by that, I mean that this theory can be generated by a mass deformation of some 5D CFT. Now, in this case, it is known that actually additional instanton actually lead to additional conserved current, leading to an enhancement of the classical U1 tensor to NF symmetry to ENF plus 1. Again, when the coupling is strictly finite, this current, of course, all massive and not conserved. But when we want to consider taking the infinite coupling limit, this current becomes conserved and one actually approaches the global symmetry of the 5D fixed point. Okay. An interesting question is how can we study these theories? So one nice way is to actually try to embed them in string theory. Very convenient embedding is given by realizing a theory is a low energy theory on a group of D5 ring suspended between NS5 ring in type 2B string theory. This leads to the construction of a brain web, shown here, where the horizontal are the D5 ring, the vertical are the NS5 ring. When these two meet, conservation of 5 ring leads to the formation of various PQ 5 ring, like this 1 minus 1 and 2 minus 1 ring here. And the supersymmetry then dictated that they have this sort of angle shown leading to this brain web like structure. Now, in addition, one can also add, without breaking supersymmetry, also add 7 brains. These are noted as these sort of black points where the 5 brains can end. Now, what's nice about this sort of representation is that it leads to a geometrical presentation of the modulus and parameter of the theory. Particularly, moduli are then represented by motion of the internal brains, particularly the 5 brains, while parameters are represented by modulus of the external brains, particularly the seven brains. In this case, for example, we have an SO2 gauge theory. One can see it by the fact that you have two 5 brains, or alternatively by the fact that there is a loose corresponding to expanding contact in this parallelogram, which corresponds to the one-dimensional Coulomb branch of SU2. In addition, there is a single mass parameter corresponding this distance, which is identified with inverse gauge coupling square of the gauge theory. Now, we can consider the limit where we go to the origin of the Coulomb branch and take the infinite coupling limit. At this point, all the waves intersect, all the brains intersect at a point, and this is the point that actually describes the 5D fixed point. Okay, this is what I need about 5D gauge theory. Next one, move about 6D, 1-0 CFTs. The basic degrees of freedom these are made from are hypermultiplet, vector multiplet, and tensor multiplet. Now, the vector and hypermultiplet are as in another dimension. Tensor multiplet are somewhat new. They contain that the bosonic degrees of freedom, a self-dual two-form, and a real scalar. The existence of the real scalar is especially interesting because it can generally acquire a wave, which leads to a moduli space called the tensor branch. Now, there are several known examples of interacting 6D10 CFTs. Some that will, most probably the most simplest one is the Rankine string theory. This is made of an N tensor multiplet and has an E8 global symmetry. We can best describe it by realizing theory in string theory, which can be realized as a low energy theory on NM5 ring near an M9 plane. Now, other types of 6D CFTs are very conveniently represented as UV completion of 6D gauge theories. Like their 5D counterpart, 6D gauge theories are non-renormalizable. However, in some cases, they may have a CFT UV completion. Now, this actually requires adding a tensor multiplet to the gauge theory, where the coupling constant of the gauge theory is then identified with a wave for the scalar field in the tensor multiplet. Or to put it another way, the 6D gauge theory is a low energy description of the 6D CFT on a generic point in the tensor branch. Now, there is another nice way to say that you actually have to do this directly from the gauge theory. That is that 6D gauge theories are chiral and generally suffer from gauge anomalies. Canceling these anomalies usually require adding the tensor multiplet, and in general also lead to various constraints on the matter content of these theories. Now, can then I ask how can we describe these theories? Well, one niceness to study them is to again embed them in string theory. Now, there are several known ways that we embed them. I will concentrate on the one that will be important for this talk, in which we realize the theory is the low energy theory on a group of the 6 brain in the presence of an O8 minus plane and partitioned by NS5 brains. This leads to this sort of structure, where this is the O8 minus plane, the horizontal line at the 6 brain, and this will represent the NS5 brain. Now, when the 6 brain is here, okay, when you have 2 and the 6 brain here, this describes a USP 2N gauge theory with 2N plus 8 fundamental hypers on the 6 brain. Now, the number of semi infinite 6 brain is in turn forced by this number by conservation of 6 brain charge. This actually mimics the condition of anomaly cancellation in the 6D gauge theory. Now, like in the five-dimensional case, this sort of brain configuration allows us to represent the moduli of the theory geometrically. Particularly in this case, one can notice there is a one-dimensional moduli corresponding to motion of the NS5 brains. Now, this distance associated with the coupling constant of the 6D theory. So when we move the NS5 brain, this distance actually changes, leading to a change in the coupling constant. As we mentioned, the coupling constant is identified with the scalar wave for the tensor multiplet. So this module is associated with the tensor branch. Particularly, consider the limit when the NS5 emits its image on top of the O8 minus plane. This is actually the point that describes the 6D CFT. Now, this is the basic configuration, but we later need on some generalization of it, which I will now briefly mention. First of all, we can add additional NS5 brains. This direction, this will lead up to a low energy quiver gauge theory made of a USP group and a long quiver of SU groups. In addition, we can add an NS5 brain that is actually stuck on the 8 minus plane. This will change the USP gauge group to an SU gauge group with an antisymmetric hypermultiplet. Finally, we can also add the 8 brains parallel to the 8 minus plane. In this case, for example, we can make all these 7 infinite 6 brain end on 8 brains, similarly to other 5 brain ended on 7 brains in the brain web description. In a more complicated system, this can be used to add various flavors. Okay, I already mentioned that 6D gauge theory generally suffer from gauge anomalies. In addition, there can be anomalies under global symmetries. These include the Lorentz group, the SU2R symmetry group, and various flavor symmetries. This can be conveniently packaged in an 8 form called the anomaly polynomial. By now, there are no ways to calculate it, for example, from the low energy gauge theory description. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning all of this is due to a result by ومورش ميزة تشيكاوا نينكورا، and they considered compactifying a 6D CFT on a torus to four dimension. And they found that given the anomaly, the 6D anomaly polynomial, one can compute the 4D the central charges of the 4D result in theory. Now, this of course is only true for a specific class of 6D CFT called very Higgsable. Now, very Higgsable means that the theory has a Higgs branch along which a tensor branch is completely lifted. Now, all of the 6D CFTs so far described are very Higgsable, particularly the rank any string theory and theory that can be engineered by these sort of brain configurations. Now, there are not very Higgsable theories. For example, the 2-0 theories and its orbifold generalization are not very Higgsable. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to describe various 5D gauge with a 6D CFT UV completion. As you've seen, by now 5D gauge sometimes have a 5D CFT, but also in some cases they actually have a 6D CFT UV completion. Now the picture that emerged then is as follows. One starts with a 6D CFT, and you can consider deforming it by the mass deformation consistent on compactifying the theory on the circle of a finite radius r. This will be a conformal invariance and initiate an RG flow that will lead in the low energy to a 5D gauge theory. The 5D gauge will in turn inherit a space of relevant deformation from its parent 6D CFT, which particularly include the 1 over the radii and anomalies for various background gauge fields, which in the 5D gauge theories are interpreted as masses and the coupling constant of the various groups. We can then consider the limit where we take all of these back to zero, which one essentially approaches the 6D CFT. Now we're going to give some examples of these theories. Well, one probably the most well-known example is the maximally supersymmetric Mill theory and the 6D2-0 theory. Slightly less supersymmetric example is given by taking the SU2 gauge theory with 8 flavors. As I mentioned, when the SU2 has less than 8 flavors, theory actually go to a 5D CFT. But actually, when it has it exactly 8 flavor, this theory goes to a 6D CFT, particularly the rank 1 is string theory. Now, one way to motivate it is from string theory. We can engineer this theory by having a default brain immersed in an 8 minus plane in the presence of the eight brain. And when you consider what happened when the coupling of the SU2 is large, for example, by taking the string coupling to be very large, then we know that the 8 minus plus 8, the 8 brain leads to the fact that there is no 8 brain charge, so this theory can be lifted to M theory, where the 5-dimensional theory on the default brain become a 6-dimensional theory on the NS5 brain, which in particular is the rank 1 string theory. Now, another nice way to actually see a hint of this, at least directly from the gauge theory, is due to enhancement of symmetry. Like in the other cases, this theory has additional instantonically generated conserved currents, but now they do not form any finite Lie group. Instead, the smallest Lie group they form is the affine E8 1 group, global symmetry. Now, if we think about what happened when we have a 6D CFT. Yes.
What does it mean for the theory to have an affine?
Yes. Okay, I'm explaining it now. These currents are all generated from instantons. So as long as you have finite coupling, these currents are all broken, not conserved. Only when you take to infinite coupling will you seem to be getting these additional currents. Now, if you think of starting with a 6D CFT with an E8 global symmetry and compactified on a circle, then you know that the E8 current, the CFT contains a current for the E8 group. This current will then be expanded in Kaluza-Klein momentum. Now, with algebra will be exactly this E8 affine group. Of course, as long as you are at finite radius, or none of these currents, most of these currents are not conserved, only the basic E8 current conserved. But if you think of retaking the limits when the radius goes to infinity, then you will appear to have an affine E8 group.
No, you still have an
E8. Yes, correct. But from the but a low energy point of view, you will appear to have an affine E8. This, of course, will combine back from just the original 6D E8 conserved current. Okay, so I want to introduce one more example. This will actually play a very important role in the next of this lecture. This one was recently analyzed by Ayashi, Kim, Lee, Taki, and Yagi. Now, the 6D CFT we'll be considering is called the DNDN conformal matter. Now, the only thing we will actually need to know about this CFT is that it has a one-dimensional tensor branch, along with the theory can be effectively described by a gauge theory, USP2N, with 2N plus 8 flavors. So it can be described by this sort of brain configuration, which we previously introduced. Now, next we want to consider compactifying it on a circle, which we do by compactifying a direction common to all these brains in the picture that is actually not shown in the picture. We can then proceed to do T-duality along this direction. When we do this, the D6 will become D5N, the NS5N will remain an NS5N, and the 8 minus will become 2 or 7 minus planes. Now, under quantum correction, your 7 minus plane decomposes into a 1, 1, and 1 minus 1, 7 plane. So when you do, after we do this duality and the decomposition of your 7 minus plane, we end up with this sort of plane picture, where this direction is identified with this direction. Now, the horizontal, the vertical direction is actually the compact direction, is not shown in that figure. Now, these are the 5 ring, this is the NS 5 ring. These two pair of 7 ring are the, what was the O7 minus after we resolve it. And these two are the second O7 minus. Now, one can see that this brain web describes an SUN plus 2 gauge theory with 2N plus 8 flavors, which is a 5D gauge theory that has DCFT as its UV completion. As an additional test, one can actually analyze the symmetry enhancement spectrum in this theory. One can indeed show that it has an additional conserved current generated by instanton that do not form any finite group, but can be completed in the affine D1 symmetry, which matches what you'd expect from the 6 DCFT. Well, you okay, you analyze it. What you actually do is you analyze the one instanton spectrum. It leads to additional conserved currents. Then you can ask, these currents need to form the adjoint character of some other group. You can ask, what other group can it be? You can actually show that it cannot be any finite group. You can say it is consistent with an affine group. What? Oh, even the computing is associated with elliptic E genus of various strings in the six dimensional theory.
I think it's six dimensional theory of T2 times.
Okay. So we have seen some examples of the gauge with the 6 DCFT of completion. Beside there, there are many other 5D gateways we suspect as a 60 CFT UV completion. We suspect usually is either because of symmetry enhancement, because the theory appears to have additional conserved currents that are inconsistent with a finite group, but maybe consistent with an affine one, or from various string theory reasoning. Now, some of these theories also have a brain web presentation. These are usually made of quiver of SU groups, the fundamentals, but one may also generalize by having one or both of the ends be a USP group or an SU group with antisymmetric hypermultiplet. We then would like to determine the 6 DCFT also for these cases. Now, the previous example suggests a strategy to do this. We have seen that if you start with some brain configuration of this type, and we compactify and dualize it, we get a 5 brain web. So the strategy will be to look for the 6 DCFT completion in some 6 DCFT that will be constructed by this type of brain configurations. Now, the strategies we'll actually adopt will be to first generalize that previous example to some large class of representative class, we will evaluate the answer explicitly. Now, then, if you have additional theories that are not in that class, we'll determine the answer for them by first mapping them to some theory in that class using a X-bunch flow. The reason why X-bunch flows are useful in that case is because the 5D and 6D X-bunches are identical. So once we determine how we can map 5D the 5D theory that we wish to determine the 6D CFT to one when we know the CFT by X-bunch flow, we can then take the 6D CFT we know for the theory, we know in the leaf, implement the same X-bunch flow, which would lead us to the 6 DCFT for the theories we wish to determine. Okay, that's the broad strategy. Are there any questions about the broad strategy before I move on to the examples? Okay, there are no questions. I can move on. Okay, the basic generalization we're going to consider will be by adding additional NS5 rings. Let's see how this thing works for the simple case of adding just one more NS5 ring. In this case, the 6D band configuration becomes this. This describes the low 6D CFT with a low energy gauge to a description given by a USP group, equivalent an SU group, and some flavors. We can now repeat the same analysis that is part defined with T-duality, and we end up with this system, with just difference by having just one additional S5 ring. Actually, this describes an SUN plus 4 gauge theory, another one here, and another SUN plus 4 theory here. In addition, there are some flavors. These are a bit trickier to determine, but it turns out that there are N plus 6 on both sides, so end up with this, with a gauge theory. So an additional check, one can again do an analysis of enhancement of symmetry pattern in this theory, and show that again there are additional instant tonic generated conserved current that are not consistent with a finite group, but consistent with an affine A1 type group, which again agrees with what you see from the 6D CFT. Okay, we can continue generalizing by adding more and more NS5 bands, and the picture that emerges is as follows. For the 6D CFT, we have some CFT that has a low energy description as a gateway made of a USB group and a long quiver of SU group. We can then again do the same process, compactify, do the T-duality, and determine from the brain web, we then see that this describes a 5D gauge theory. There's a rather simple form of a long SUN quiver with n plus 2 flavors on both sides. Now, this specific structure leads to an odd number of SUN group, but there is a rather simple generalization you can do that leads to an even number. You can consider adding an NS5 band stuck directly on the right minus plane. This will change the USP group to an SU group that's antisymmetric and will lead to the exact same 5D gauge theory, but with an even number of groups. So to summarize, we've determined the 6D CFT lift on the 5D gauge theory made from a long quiver of SUN group with n plus 2 flavors on both sides. And this will be the representative class we will use. Other theories that are not in that class will then be determined by first mapping them to this class by a Higgs bunch flow. So this will be a good time to describe what exactly are the Higgs bunch flow we are considering. This is what we're considering will be given by breaking a 5 brain on a 7 brain. Particularly, let's say we have a D5 brain ending on a 7 brain. Say we have another 5 brain ending on a different 7 brain. Then we can first tune the parameters which this one exactly touch. When they touch, there is a possibility one can start moving this piece of the 5 brain across the 2-7 brain leading up to this sort of breaking. Finally, you can consider the limit where this piece is infinitely far away, which actually describes the Higgs bunch limit we'd be interested in. One can see that the final, what this finally describes is just taking two 5 brain ending on different 7 brain and forcing them to end on the same 7 brain. Now, while I phrase everything in terms of 5 brain and 7 brain, there is a rather straight analog also for 6 brain and 8 brain. We can also have two 6 brain ending on different 8 brains. We can again tune the parameters they touch and break a 6 brain across a pair of 8 brains. Now, the reason why this is, why I'm mentioning this is what we have seen when we do T-duality, the D5 brain becomes the 6 brain and the D7 brain becomes the 8 brain. So the analog of doing this breaking on the 5D brain web will be forcing several 6 brain to end on the same 8 brain on the 6D brain configuration. Now, one nice property of these sort of X branches is that they have a direct analog also in the gauge theory. Consider the brain web given like this. This describes the quiver tail as this form. Now, let's say we do the Higgs branch flow associated with forcing these two 5 brain to end on the same 7 brain. This will lead us to this picture, where this sort of jump represents the fact that this 5 brain can end on this one as 4 brain because of the S rule. Now, this has a direct analog also in the gauge theory. Particularly, this can describe the Higgs flow given by giving a wave to a meson in this part. This will then lead to, this will then Higgs down one rank of this group and lose two flavor, leading us to this in the theory. Okay, now again, why this thing is actually turned out to be useful is this allows us to move straightforward between the gauge theory description and the brain description. Particularly, if you have some 5D gauge theory, we can use this to directly write down the brain web. From the brain web, we can understand what sort of Higgs bunch motion are needed in terms of how many 5 brain need to end on a specific 7 brain. This allows us to determine the motion it needed to do on the 6D brain configuration. Particularly, how many 6 brain need to end on the same D8 brain. Once we determine this, we can again use this to transform what is the change necessary in the 6D gauge theory. And we can get a low energy 6D gauge theory description of the 6D CFT. Okay, it's probably be good to actually show an example of how it works. So, let's consider this 5D gauge theory. We can get this 5D gauge theory from this 5-dimensional gauge theory by a Higgs bunch flow, where specifically we give a wave to meson here and a wave to a meson in here. This will Higgs down one rank in here, one rank in here, losing two flavors, and will lead us to this theory. In turn, this theory can have a brain wave representation given by this, where I use a black X to represent the 1-0-7 brain. This just adds additional flavors for the two groups. One can see that this when we the Higgs bunch flow is represented by forcing these two pair of 5 brains to end on the same 7 brain. We now want to determine the 6D CFT lift of this 5D gauge theory. We can do this by first noticing that this theory is in the representative class we consider, and we can actually directly determine the 6D CFT, the theory of this form. In addition, we know that to get from that theory to this theory, we need to break two pairs of 5 brains on the same 7 brain. Which means that in the 6D theory, this will be forcing, again, to a pair of now 6 brains to end on the same 8 brain. Each such breaking will induce an Higgs bunch flow where we Higgs down one rank of this isogroup and lose two flavors. So if we do this twice, we end up with this gauge theorem, which is the low energy gauge description of the 6D CFD we wish to determine. Okay, yes.
What? Do the FATD theory and the 6D theory have the same expansions?
Yes.
Is this... No. So this is some... Let's say this. So these are nice examples.
This is the consequence of supersymmetry. This is the consequence of supersymmetry. You have 8 superchargers, so it's enough to win. But the DX match is not... that is a quantum correction.
Then I said, but clearly, I mean...
Oh, of course, that the gauge theory, of course, that the CFT is actually realized when you take all the mass deformation to zero. Generally, when you light some of this mass deformation, this will lift some of the EX branches.
Yes, that's
right. So there are some EX branches that actually doesn't match when you're actually in the gauge theory.
So the EX branch of the FATD gauge theory is a sub-manifold?
Yes,
the
actual EX branch you can access from
FATD
gauge
theory. Because I guess the tensor branch also suppresses potentially some.
Yes, there are also, yes, the X-branch in the 5D theory can also contain X-branches that are in actually coming from the tensor multiplet.
So the X-branches of these two, 5D and 6D theory, has some common sub-manifold that you're, along which you're moving.
The X-branch in the 5D theory contain, the X-branch in the 6D theory consider everything. The one that I can see perturbatively and also the one that may be on the tensor multiplet. When you map it into the 5D gauge, there is some sub-manifold that actually survives at this one, the 5D sub. I don't think so. There are some examples that I know that appears that the 5D, the X one trajectory taken the 5D gauge to it maps to something in the tensor branch of the 6D theory.
Like if you look at QSU2, right? QSU2 has a Higgs branch, but if you move in the tensor branch, it goes away.
You mean pure SU?
Pure SU in 6 dimensions.
Yeah, but that
in 5 dimensions,
exist.
Sorry. 5 dimensions. Okay, so I don't know about 6. Okay. I guess it's 6.
Okay, so now a natural question then is what theories can actually apply this? Now, naively, this appears to be only able to be only applicable for linear SU quivered fundamentals. The basic reason is the representative class we consider is an SU quivered fundamentals, and as we already mentioned, when you do this sort of fixed branch flow, you move from one SU quivered fundamental to another SU quivered fundamentals. However, we've actually seen that this can be applied to greater number of five-dimensional gauge theories. Well, one can actually do this by actually ignoring the gauge theory and actually looking directly on the brain web. In many cases, one can actually, by doing several manipulations on the brain webs, particularly moving 7 brains around, one can actually map the brain web to the brain web of one of the theories in the representative classes after some Higgs branch flow. Once you have this, you can automatically again read what sort of Higgs branch motion you have to do and implement them on the 6D brain configuration to get the 6D CFT. Now, actually, we've checked this for a rather large number of 5D gauge theories, and we've seen that this works, and this lets us conjecture that it actually works for any 5D gauge with the brain web representation, though we currently have no proof for this. Now, there are several examples, actually an example in the article. Instead, I will want to use the remaining time to discuss something else, and that is how we can apply this to understand the compactification of 6D CFTs on the torus to four dimension. Okay, the basic problem we consider is as follows. We have some 6D10 CFT. We want to compactify it on the torus to four dimension. This will lead us to some 4D theory and want to determine what is this 4D theory. The strategy we're going to choose is we're going to do this in steps. We'll first take the 6D CFT and compactify it on a circle. In this case, this is actually where we utilize the relationship we previously learned, because we know that this theory cannot be represented by some five-dimensional gauge theory. This five-dimensional gauge theory in turn is a space of relevant deformation. This includes the one over the radii and various autonomies for the background gauge fields. In general, we will have to turn a lot of them on to actually get the 5D gauge theory description. We need to take the limit where the radius of compactification goes to zero. This will initiate some mass deformation of the 5D gauge theory, which in the low energy lead up to another 5D gauge theory, but now one that actually has a 5D CFT as its UV completion. So we can now think of turning off all these autonomies that we turn on to get this 5D gauge theory, and this will lead us to some 5D CFT. And this completes the first step of the reduction on one circle. We now need to reduce another circle that is compacted by this resulting 5D CFT and take the limit where the radius of the circle goes to zero. Fortunately, in our case, this movement is actually already known and was worked out by Benigni and Tachikawa, and in that case, this leads up to a 4D class S theory. Now, since it is a class S theory, then this means that this theory can be represented also by the compactification of the 60 to 0 theory on a Riemann surface with puncture. In our case, it will be a Riemann sphere with repuncture. Now, this can then be used to perform a cross-check on this analysis. Particularly, by now, there are known methods how to compute from this description, particularly the 2-0 type and the type of Riemann surface. One can compute the 4D central charges of this theory. In turn, we have already mentioned that we can also do this from the 6D anomaly polynomial. So if the entire procedure is correct, we must get the same result. This then proves a consistency condition for this process. Okay, so let's see a simple example of how this works. Let's say we start with the rank 1 E-string theory. We want to compactify it on a torus to 4 dimension. We can start by first compactifying it on a circle, but this can be described by the gauge theory SV2 with 8 flavors. We next want to take the limit that the radius goes to 0. This then initiates a mass deformation of this theory. It turns out that the correct mass deformation is integrated out of flavor, so we lead up to SV2 with 7 flavors. This theory actually goes to a 5D CFT that has an E8 global symmetry. So this mass deformation exactly expects a 6D theory global symmetry. Finally, we need to take the limit we compactify it on another circle, take the small radius limit. In that case, this theory then goes to the Milan and Mashansky EA theory. Now, this theory in turn is a class S theory and can be represented also by compactification of an A5 to 0 theory on a Riemann sphere with 3 punctures represented by these 3 Young diagrams. Now, from this description, one can calculate the central charges of this rank 1 EA theory. We can also do this from the known anomaly polynomial of rank 1 E string theory. This was actually done originally in the article by Omori Shimizu, Tachikawa, and Akara, and they indeed find they agree. Now, we can now consider applying this to the case we consider here. Particularly, we can apply this for the general representative class for the 6D CFT. Recall that this class is made from as a low energy gauge description as a USD group and a long quiver of SU group. When you compactify it on a circle, this leads up to a 5D gauge theory that has a long SUN quiver with n plus 2 flavors on both sides. We now need to take the limit, the mass deformation limit, which in this case again corresponds to integrating out the flavor, which we can conveniently choose to be from this side. This leads up to this 5D gauge theory, which in turn goes to a 5D CFT. We next need to take less up to the last reduction. This is actually a bit of a long step. I will try to explain a bit how it works in the next transparency. For now, we'll just take the result. One gets this class S, particularly the class S represented by compactification of an A-type 2-0 theory on this Riemann surface. Now, from this description, you can calculate the central charges of this 4D theory. You can also do the same calculation from the anomaly polynomial of the 6D CFT, and we indeed find they agree. Now, I finally owe you a bit about how the last step is performed. So this is actually a bit long, and the process that involves is as follows. We first start with the 5D, with a brain web for the 5D gauge theory. This looks in this case something like this. And then you can proceed to a long sequence of 7 brain manipulation of this theory. The type of manipulation we're going to consider is mostly basically moving 7 brains around. For example, you can take this 107 and move it past here. This will lead up to this theory, to this brain web, where 2 things happen. First, when you move it around, there's a Hanni-Witten transition leading to the creation of another D5 brain between the 7 brain, this and S5 brains. In addition, we have to pass this part to the monodromy of the 7 brain. This changes to a 1 minus 1 brain. One can notice that if you extend this brain and this brain, they will eventually intersect, and they again, this one of the brains will move past another one, and we again have a Hanni-Witten effect and a change to the monodromy. We can now continue this process where we send like this brain, send this brain along to all this other NS5 brain. In addition, we can move these brains around. This leads to a very long transition of 7 brain manipulation. But if you actually do it long enough, you eventually get to a web that has roughly this form, where I actually only need how the external legs looks like and not how they're actually connected. So I've resulted to presenting the internal of the brain that is sort of black ball. Now, this represents a 7 brain with a number of 5 brain ending on it, which is given by this number. Now, this sort of brain configuration, that is the shape of the 5 brain junction, was studied by Benigni and Tachikawa. They concluded that when you compactify them to 4 dimensions, they lead up to a class S theory of A type, with Remigian, the compactification on a Riemann sphere with three punctures. Well, each group of seven brains are associated with a specific puncture, and the diagram of that puncture can be determined by associating a column with every seven brain, with the number of columns in that seven brain given by the number of five brains ending on that seven brain. So if you do this on this theory, you indeed get this class F theory. Okay, so I think that will be a good time to conclude. We have seen that some 5D gauge to have a 6D CFT of completion. We have seen how we can determine that 6D CFT of completion using a Higgs bunch flow, at least for theories that have a brain web representation. We have also seen how we can then use this to study the compactification of 6D CFTs on the torus to four dimensions. Now, there are several open questions left. One of them is, can we actually do this for every 5D gauge theory? I have mentioned that we have checked this for a large number of cases, and it seems to work in all of them, but it's not yet clear if it works for every 5D gauge theory with a brain web representation. Now, even if that's true, there are other types of five-dimensional gauge theory without an ordinary brain web representation. Some of them can actually give an string theory representation by some generalization of brain webs by addition of orientiful plane. It will be also interesting to study these as well. Thank you.
Let's take a look.